You're listening to Radio Aryan.
Oh, then tell me, Sean O'Farrell, tell me why you hurry so. Hush, you vocal, hush and listen, and his cheeks were all aglow. I bear orders from the captain, get you ready quick and soon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon. By the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon. Oh, then tell me, Sean O'Farrell, where the gathering is to be. In the old spot by the river, right well known to you and me. One word more for signal token, whistle up the marching tune. For your pike upon your shoulder by the rising of the moon. By the rising of the moon.
Greetings from the Northwest homeland, comrades. The date is Thursday, November 1st, 2018. I'm Andy Donner, and you're listening to Radio Free Northwest.
Farmers passed along the valleys like the banshee's lonely croon, and the cows and blades were flushing at the rising of the moon, at the rising of the moon, at the rising of the moon.
As promised, this week's Radio Free Northwest episode will feature a party status update I'm sure you're all looking forward to. But before I get into that, I have to cover a couple of recent news events. Do not make bombs, even if they're clearly fake. Do not send bombs, even if they're clearly fake, and this is some sort of publicity stunt, to politicians you wish to be blown up. Also, don't go grab your gun and shoot up a synagogue, please. Now, yes, I'm fully aware of the contents of the Northwest Independence novels. Even so, don't do these things. Those fictional accounts are for a time that has yet not arrived and for which the party is not planning. Are we clear? And no, I'm not just saying that to cover my butt. The fact of the matter is, you do your people no good if you get yourself jammed up. Enough said. I sure hope so. You'll note I reference the Northwest Independence novels. If you haven't read them, and, well, even if you have, they're available from the party's website at www.northwestfront.org. I bring that up because I was recently given a question that was posted on a rebroadcast of Radio Free Northwest on another website. This question had to do with precisely how the party would plan to handle all the Asians in the Pacific Northwest. Well, I have two answers. First, there's not quite as many as our detractors would make out, though, yes, demographics do change with time. Would it weren't so. But regardless, the second answer is more important. That second answer is precisely the same way we would deal with all the other non-white races here in the Pacific Northwest. The ultimate goal of the Northwest Front is to enact the Butler Plan. Now, I emphasize the word plan because no other pseudo-homeland effort has anything resembling a plan, and that's important. Despite all previous warnings on Radio Free Northwest episodes, including this one, to not say or do things that ought not be done or said, I can certainly talk about what I think would be a good idea. And I think it would be a good idea if there were an all-white independent sovereign ethno-state in the Pacific Northwest where the governmental powers didn't even allow non-whites to be. So that would be how, in theory, we'd handle the Asians. Again, just like everyone else. That question, though I can't be sure, was almost certainly spawned from the perspective of someone who doesn't understand that there's actually a way to make these events come about. I'll refer you again to the Northwest Independence novels, since they're our main mode of ideological and practical education. Go get your copies, folks. And with that said, I'm ready to move on to the actual meat of this episode, the first real party status update following Harold Covington's death. Rather than jaw-jacking at you myself, I'm actually going to let Comrade Don Welke read the first orglet, or organizational letter, published by the Northwest Front since Harold's death. Take it away, Comrade Don.
Northwest Front Organizational Letter Number 81, dated October 15th, 2018. A message from the Headquarters Group. Greetings, comrades. We hope that you are all well and continuing to find your own ways to show family, friends, and acquaintances the racial strength and commitment to our people that Harold Covington exemplified during his long and accomplished life working for our race. We, of course, do this to the best of our ability here in the headquarters region of the Greater Seattle Metropolitan Area and are working to carry on the mission of the Northwest Front in Harold's stead. We feel the time is right to update you in greater detail about the current state of the party and give some reassurances that things remain in hand as we deal with the aftermath of Harold's death and the transition to a new evolution of the Front's organization and activism. This orglet that Harold created to keep us all generally informed will continue. Right now, we caveat this by saying that it may or may not go out every month, as Harold was able to maintain, but we suspect we will decide and be able to do so eventually. We may supplement this method of contact, or indeed replace it with other means, perhaps with an expansion of the party website functionality, but for the time being, the party orglet will continue in use. Most of them will be combined communiques from the headquarters group as a whole. Some will be written by Andy Donner specifically when he decides he has something to say of particular importance as public spokesman for the Front. The past few months have been spent dealing with the American governmental system, fulfilling the dictates of Mr. Covington's will, dealing with the physical disposition of Harold's assets, and recovering and redistributing access to the party's financial and electronic resources. There are certainly challenges that remain for us in concluding this transition, but Mr. Covington did a fairly good job of setting things up for his eventual end. We achieved his important personal goal of, as he put it, not leaving a mess after his departure from the scene because of some emotional inability to accept and face the reality of it, as has been the case with some fearless leaders of other prominent white patriot and white nationalist organizations in the past. This was a high priority for Harold, and he was ultimately successful in recruiting and gathering around him a sufficient number of high-quality white men willing to step up and make important commitments, entailing some significant political and personal risk, in order to provide for a proper transition after he was gone. We are grateful to these men for their racial courage and dedication, and acknowledge their continuing contributions. All of us in the headquarters group know the mission we still have ahead of us and understand its importance no less than Harold did. The work continues. What happened with HAC? It is natural for everyone to be curious about what happened with Harold. Here is what we can tell you. As best as can be determined, Harold Armstead Covington, born September 14, 1953, in Burlington, North Carolina, suffered a heart attack and died in Bremerton, Washington, sometime during the midday of July 17, 2018. After recognizing that Harold had fallen out of contact, members of the headquarters group were forced to work through American law enforcement channels to gain access to Harold's apartment, and were finally able to do so on the 19th when we learned of Harold's condition. The coroner's office was called, and Harold was laid to rest in a brief ceremony. A remembrance for Harold will be held at a future date for NF cadre, friends, and supporters in the local area who rallied to Mr. Covington's call to come home over the last decade. Details will be sent out when the party has fully stabilized. Who is in charge now, and where do we go from here? As mentioned earlier, the new public spokesman for the Northwest Front is Andreas Wilhelm Andy Donner, who made his migration to the homeland and the headquarters area in 2011, has been Harold's closest lieutenant and right-hand man for the last several years, and whom you know from his many online interactions and submissions to Radio Free Northwest. He is backed by a select group of men who have shown through their dedicated support and conscious commitment over the years that they are worthy to be trusted with the future direction of the NF. Harold regularly expressed his conviction that the party and the Northwest Front must be more than just a one-man show. However, despite the quality of the folks Harold had been able to recruit to his side, the Front before Harold's departure was indeed too much of a one-man show, and he knew this. This was necessitated by a long-standing legal threat that Harold only relatively recently managed to escape after nearly two decades, and to some degree it was caused by Harold's own paranoia, to which Harold readily admitted. This was a result of his long experience with sabotage by our enemies and the immaturity and unreliability of many of the people drawn to American white nationalist politics in the past. However, as they say, just because you're paranoid, it doesn't mean they're not out to get you. Harold's paranoia and caution were justified, but did hamper operations and growth potential of the party as might be imagined. Now that the headquarters organizational structure has been broadened, many possibilities open up for the organization. We no longer have a full-time dedicated content producer to create the lion's share of the party's rhetoric, but neither does the party have the expense of maintaining the livelihood of such a man. The new headquarters group is composed of professionals with their own independent sources of income, and your contributions to the party can now go in greater measure to active projects and to the accounts the party has on hand for eventual procurement of physical plant and new technological capabilities. Funds can now be allocated for expanded recruitment and growth efforts in the homeland. This is an important and valuable new factor in the development of the front. Andy Donner and the headquarters group have been meeting frequently to handle ongoing issues and map out long-term strategy. You will be learning the results of these discussions on RFN and in future orglets as we revamp our processes and internal workings. You would find this to be a good team. Some of us handle administrative matters, others provide essential support for the party's technical resources, and still others manage party security for active projects and planning. Some of us are writers, speakers, and content creators, as Harold was. Rest assured, there is a team in place of serious and competent men and women who are fully suited to the task before them. All of us believe that Harold would be pleased with how things have been handled since July. This is a group of mature adults driven by motivations far beyond the rampant ego gratification seen in so many white nationalist movements of the past. As you might guess, Harold would not have collected such men close around him, and he did not. And the right people are in place to serve. Standards for engagement with the party. The party still values input and feedback through our websites and through the other means of contact we have established with many of you. Let us know what you think. As always, anyone who has something to say that is worth listening to will be listened to, and those who are expert at nothing but making unproductive noise will be filtered out and ignored. This should come as no surprise to the type of people who can be of real use to the cause, and to these men and women, it should actually serve as reassurance. One of the things that has been decided going forward is that the party's resources will be jealously guarded, especially against the wasting of time and energy. The hour is late, and the time for games has passed. We do not have the lifelong connections HAC had to other members of the broader white nationalist movement, but neither do we have the baggage and vulnerabilities of that history. Everything from now on will be evaluated as to whether it has positive value in carrying us forward rather than into types of juvenile messes and pointless battles seen so often in the past. When HAC said it is time to ramp up professionalization of the party, he meant it, and so do we. We are here to change the world, and we will protect that intention and focus. Finally, we wish to express appreciation to all of you who have continued with your donations to the party even after learning of our loss of Mr. Covington. There is no reason for us to attempt to hide what might easily be guessed. Party donations have fallen off heavily since Harold died, as most people have clearly chosen to take a wait-and-see attitude toward continued financial support. This is a natural human reaction and was not unexpected. But it is a great tribute to Harold that many of you have continued to send operating funds to the party, regardless of the present circumstance. We are appreciative and greatly impressed by your generosity and resolve. It will be rewarded with results, and these results will lead to a recovery of financial support, we are sure. The party is not hampered at the moment and remains on solid ground. Rest assured, you and we will continue to progress together. Thank you for your continued faith and commitment, and we will be in touch again soon. Hail victory!
Good evening, comrades. Tonight I would like to talk about influence, science, and practice. And this is by Robert B. Caldini. Now, this was sent to me by Harold, and I had to question to what extent this book is relevant to us. I think it's relevant in essentially two ways. And one is in the self-questioning that Harold proselytizes, the fearless self-questioning. And also, I think, to some lesser degree, the question of social engineering. Now, the problem is that we are not as autonomous as we would like to think that we are. And this happens in two ways. As children, we are very compelled to copy the adults around us. It's really instinctual at that point. And then later on, as we outgrow those urges, we still have the question of certain evolutionary hardwired mental shortcuts that we tend to make all the time, and sometimes without really even knowing it. And these sorts of mental shortcuts do make us very vulnerable to various forms of manipulation. Now, one historically interesting example of manipulation was during the Korean War with American soldiers. Very often, United States soldiers were captured, and early on in their captivity, they were compelled to make some very banal statements about the United States, like saying that the United States, for example, was not perfect. Then they would be urged to write essays explaining how the United States was not perfect. Eventually, the soldiers were encouraged to write competing essays dealing with the pros and the cons of communism. So these soldiers were really encouraged to think critically about ideology. And interestingly, they were not always asked to write essays that were always praising communism, but they could also write articles where they would be somewhat critical of communism. This would give the soldiers a sense that they were really objectively evaluating communism. And when some of them came back to the States, they would say that they felt that communism was a very viable regime for Asia, whereas prior to that, they had been attempting to fight communism. However, arguably, I suppose if communism suits anyone, it would suit Asians, because indeed Asians are very collective anyway. In another less dramatic example, the author talks about how individuals can be drawn into personal relationships, or even drawn back into personal relationships that are unhealthy and unsatisfying. However, individuals often praise or pride themselves on the idea of being consistent. And so for some people, perhaps more so for women, it can be difficult to leave an unhealthy relationship when you feel that you've really invested a lot in that relationship. And that's one of the reasons that cohabitation with someone prior to marriage is, I would say, a highly questionable idea. I know it's extremely popular, and there's often a pressure for that. Very often in dating situations, one individual will pressure the other into certain behaviors that are not healthy. So I think that's something that should really be reconsidered, because it can cause a lot of wasted time on unhealthy relationships. And he talks about this example of Tim and Sue, and how Tim was an alcoholic and was living with Sue. Tim did not want to propose. He did not want to stop drinking. Eventually, Sue got out of the relationship and was close to marrying someone else. Tim came back and said that he would quit drinking and that he would eventually propose. And Sue was foolish enough to take him back. And as time went on, Tim did neither. And yet Sue was drawn into this relationship due to a desire for consistency. Consistency also plays a role, for example, in volunteering. If a surveyor calls someone or comes to their house and says they're doing a survey of support for a certain charity, and then the charity starts recruiting volunteers, oftentimes the charity will get more volunteers because individuals first said that they would support the charity. So we can see that public declarations often enhance an individual's view. And this was true in Korea when the soldiers made declarations that they supported communism, for example, or that they wanted to criticize the United States. And it's also true in cases where people make declarations on surveys. However, in collective societies, declarations of support really don't mean as much because in collective societies, it's more important for friends and family members to support a particular charity, for example, than it is for individuals to do so. Naturally, and it's really the most obvious thing in the world when you think about it, we tend to be more generous to people when we feel gratitude. Therefore, in expensive restaurants where they want you to leave a big tip, often they will give you a small piece of candy along with your bill, for example. So we tend to want things when they're expensive. Sometimes sales will actually improve when a price goes up. We tend to want things that are censored or that are rare. We tend to clap more when other people clap, and we very much like dealing with people that mirror ourselves. So, for example, successful sales representatives will often attempt to, I suppose I could call it a kind of a mimicry of our own interests. So when they're dealing with equestrians, they speak of their supposed love for horses. And when they're dealing with a ski enthusiast, they talk about their desire to hit the slopes every chance they get. Also, too, we sometimes wonder. We wonder, you know, why are there so many school shootings, for example? What's going on in society? Is it stress? Is it mental illness? Well, this author has a theory. He talks about how oftentimes when things are made public, when things are on the news and in the newspapers and on the TV, they're everywhere, oftentimes individuals will want to essentially copy what they see or at least approximate what they see. So back in the early 2000s, for example, when there were a rash of shootings at post offices, the author theorizes that there was one that occurred and then it just became an epidemic. Now, luckily, eventually that died down, but then there started to be these epidemics of school shootings. And the author really blames publicity. He talks about, and I'm sure this is totally inadvertent, but he talks about when a suicide is publicized, there will be a rash of new suicides after that. And they will often mimic the type of suicide or the general type that was publicized. And the same thing, chillingly, is also true for homicides as well. So these things become, it's almost becomes really a contagion. The author also talks about situations where a certain prize fighter will lose a fight, and this can trigger attacks against individuals of a similar demographic. Now, the author talks a bit about the question of desegregation and how desegregation may actually increase hostility. This will be true unless students are encouraged to work together on group projects, because group projects give students overarching goals. And when students have these overarching goals, they stop seeing each other as competitors and they see each other as working towards the same goal. Now, the author also warns us that if school desegregation should lead to undesirable romance, the author warns that being too much against undesirable romances, for example, or really anything, if you talk endlessly about the undesirability of drinking alcohol or eating candy, the problem with all this is that you tend to create forbidden fruit. So when we absolutely categorically forbid something, we do make it more tempting. So it's actually better, going back to those essays on communism, for example, It's actually better when you let someone decide something on their own, or supposedly let them decide on their own, rather than absolutely forbidding something. Because that goes back to rarity and to censorship. If you say something's absolutely forbidden, it's going to be more alluring. And so that's something that we could make work for us. If our views, for example, are said to be completely awful, that can actually make some people more intrigued. Now, the author gives us two parting questions that we should always ask ourselves. First of all, we should check the reaction in our gut before agreeing to something. If there's a sales pitch, we should check, first of all, the reaction in our gut. And second of all, after we've made a choice, we should always ask ourselves, if we could go back in time, would we make the same choice again? For example, if Sue could go back in time with Tim, when she decided that she was going back to Tim because she wanted to be consistent, or even in the beginning when she first met Tim, would she really want this relationship with Tim that goes nowhere, or would she want a relationship that leads to marriage? That would be a very good question, and this kind of self-examination is helpful to us because it helps us not to waste our time and not to invest in things that really don't give us good returns. So I hope you found this book interesting. I have to say that I found this book very much to the point. Now, I've studied psychology, but I found this book more helpful than the psychology texts that I've read. So again, I'm talking about Influence, Science and Practice by Robert B. Cialdini. As I said, I found this book very helpful. So have a good evening. Thank you for listening, and hail victory, comrades.
They say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm westbound just like a bandit run. If you put hard on the pedal, some never mind your brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we gotta run to make.
Greetings, comrades. This is the trucker coming at you from North Dakota. Just made a circuit through the homeland, do a delivery, and then on to the homestead for a few days off, and then back out on the road again. And for those of you that say there's no jobs up here, well, when I was on my way to deliver there in the Portland area, I went through Pendleton, Oregon, and Keystone RV was hiring. All you have to do is go to their website and stuff at Keystone RV to find out what job openings they've got there. And then when I was picking up my load in Ellensburg, Washington, Twin City Foods has got a big banner out that they're hiring there in Ellensburg. So there's at least two employers that are hiring. It's starting to get into the fall season out here. The weather's starting to cool off a little bit. They're at Eastern Washington and Montana and stuff. The past couple of days when I was coming across that neck of the woods, it was dropping down into the 40s, 50s at night, getting up into the 70s, I guess, during the daytime. Haven't seen any snow yet out here, but did hear about a storm a few weeks back that got up around Glacier National Park up there north of Missoula, up closer to the Canadian border. Went through some burnt out areas due to wildfires and stuff. I missed out on the big one that had I-5 shut down there in Northern California. Glad I didn't have to go and participate in that. I guess there was a few semis that got burned out. A few people had dropped their trailers right there on the interstate off on the shoulder and stuff and took their rigs, tractors, bobtail units, whatever you want to classify them as, and boogied out of there to safer territory. But a few people weren't able to disconnect from their loads and Their whole truck got burned up rather than just the trailer, so those wildfires are nothing to fool around with. Still waiting for you to show up out here, either on your scouting trip or your migration. Well, I'll just keep throwing my little segments out. Hopefully you'll go and take our advice and come on out here. We don't have any hurricanes out here, so those of you over there on the East Coast are getting thumped by those hurricanes that just came in down the Gulf, and another one that's supposed to be making landfall in the Carolinas this week. We don't have them out here, so anyway. Okay, well, this is the Trucker signing off from North Dakota on my way to Wisconsin. Greetings, comrades. This is the Trucker coming at you from Scipio, Utah, to touch base on a little subject that I suffer from, and I'm sure the rest of you do too. It's called procrastination. I've got five novels at home, and only one of them is signed. That is Freedom Sons. I'd meant to get the rest of them signed by Mr. Covington, but I didn't want to intrude on his time, and so now I have four unsigned novels at home. I've done other procrastination things in the past, like I was wanting to get this one carbine kit for my 1911, and it's no longer available, and other things like that. So, you really should quit putting off things like making your scouting trip, or your migration, or making your monthly donations to the cause. It's one of those things that time just slips by, and then it's too late. So, you really should plan better and, you know, get things done in a timely manner. I mean, it's not the only thing that I've missed out on purchasing or doing or whatever. I've got a long list of items that I have to rack up to procrastination. Accessories for my bike that are no longer available because it's too old. Other things that I've seen, like on Amazon or something like that, that I wanted to get that are no longer available. So, before it's too late, you might want to think about getting some of those things knocked off your list so that you can actually say that you did them. Some of you that procrastinated on making your scouting trip and getting to meet Mr. Covington, well, that one's no longer available. So, advice from the Trucker, get off your ass and quit procrastinating. All right, this is the Trucker signing off from Scipio, Utah. Hoping to see you out there on the road, hopefully not sliding off it, making your scouting trip and your migration soon.
Well, I'm now 18-wheeler man. We gonna do what they say can be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm westbound, just watch a bandit run.
And now that you've heard some other voices, I need to add my own commentary to the actual status update. Someone asked me recently to explain why I commented on a Radio Free Northwest episode not too long in the past that the party is actually doing better than it has been in a very long time. You heard certain parts of that, and I want to emphasize that as short as my commentary will be this week just because my schedule is nuts, I actually had something else I wanted to read. Someone sent us an interesting letter that I will comment on in later episodes of Radio Free Northwest, dealing with what the Northwest Front is doing wrong. Without being able to give you that letter in its full context and letting you judge its material for itself, I will say that the major thrust was that we don't actually do community building. Well, that's just not true. The party would flatly have fallen apart had Harold Covington not actually done real community building here in the headquarters area. There would be no headquarters group if this particular criticism of the NF were true. And as you heard in that reading by Comrade Dawn, Harold did in fact not leave a mess, in a certain sense. He did do actual succession planning and set up, as best as he knew how, mechanisms for that to happen, or else, again, you wouldn't be hearing me right now and the NF would actually have tanked, which it most certainly hasn't. Historically speaking, no white nationalist group has done this well when its founder has died. That in and of itself is a tangible victory and a step forward for white nationalism, which, contrary to all of this alt-right hoopla, hasn't happened in a very long time. Even so, I can't fault someone for not understanding that, because the appearance we have broadcasted is that we're in maintenance mode. That's not quite far off, but it's not entirely true either. The orglet you just heard referenced the fact that Harold didn't leave a mess, and in the sense intended, that's certainly true. The party does still exist because Harold did actual succession planning and let everybody involved in the headquarters group know what was going on with that. In every other sense, though, we have a lot of cleaning up to do. That orglet referenced Harold's paranoia, and unfortunately, that paranoia caused him to do, or more precisely not do, a number of things he needed to. His day-to-day personal practices for operating the party are barely existent and not sustainable as soon as more than one person had to do them. And that goes doubly for someone who's swanning in and out like many of us are forced to, because none of us as yet is doing this full-time. This cleanup process I mentioned has taken up nearly all of the party's time since Harold's death, and it will until it concludes itself. I'm sorry to say there isn't much more I can tell you until all of that is wrapped up and certain situations to which I dare not refer right now have concluded themselves. We expect that to happen in the foreseeable future, though, so do look forward to our continued existence. I almost didn't have anything else for this week's episode of Radio Free Northwest until one of the new comrades in the HQ group made it a point to bring up a very important subject with me, and as I have no better time than now to make this announcement, I'll go ahead and make it. For quite some time, the way the party has allowed people to interact with it has needed to change. Some, though certainly not all, of these changes have been put into place. Changes will continue as the cleanup process I referred to progresses, but as things change, we will announce them. Today, I need to tell you what, so far, has been done. First and foremost, the email list has been suspended. I referred to some unsustainable practices of Harold's, and the way he handled email was one of them. It will come back, I promise. The second most significant thing you'll notice different is that there are far fewer comments on Radio Free Northwest episodes, and there are even fewer posts to the party message board. Some of that is natural interest drop-off after Harold's death, but it is also due to a new party policy. As much as we like nearly all of you out there, you have to understand that if you're incapable of composing coherent written material, we're simply not going to approve your RFN comments or message board posts anymore. Please understand that this is probably not a personal issue with you, it's just that utter illiterates writing things on white nationalist websites tend to make white nationalists look as if they're all illiterate. We simply can't endorse written material that doesn't understand capital letters, punctuation, correct spacing, and organizing thoughts into paragraphs. In other words, use English the way it existed before the internet came along. Thank you very much. The second of the current changes is actually much more significant because it goes against one of Harold's long-standing policies. Harold's personal opinion is that nobody should ever be censored unless they were outright trolling or spreading malicious lies, simply because he himself was subject to so much censorship, even from white nationalists. Well, the fact of the matter is there have been all sorts of things said about the party that simply can't be true, and I regret to say this is even by people who consider themselves longtime party associates that simply can't have any idea what they're talking about and couldn't be bothered to contact me through private channels before saying I and the rest of the HQ group had done something incredibly untowards or improper or something along those lines following Harold's death. Nothing could be further from the truth, and every time something like that came up, I always did my best to be kind about it, but that quickly revealed itself to be the wrong thing to have done, because even a straight-up answer through private channels wasn't good enough for these people. So even from other white nationalists here on out, we're not going to tolerate that sort of games playing. This might seem a very odd time to adopt a policy like that, since it's so clearly on its face the right thing to do, but as I was reminded at a very, very recent meeting of the HQ group, we're all serious about this party professionalization thing, and there's no way to allow games players to joke around on our websites and still accomplish said professionalization. From here on out, if you can't find a way to make a useful contribution to the party, you can keep it to yourself. When I was given a draft of the organizational letter you heard played this episode, I was struck by its subtext and actually approached one of the people responsible for its contents and asked, "So, did you mean to convey that, listen up because adults are talking now?" And I was told point blank, "Yeah, that's precisely the point. And the best thing I can do right now is convey that to you." I can only reiterate something I said in RFN comments, which I remarked on this episode, and that's that the party really is doing better right now than it has in a long time, despite whatever assumptions someone might make about outward appearances or the lack thereof. That's this week's episode of Radio Free Northwest. Radio Free Northwest is brought to you by the Northwest Front, P.O. Box 2188, Bremerton, Washington 98310. Or you can visit the party on our website at www.northwestfront.org. Until next time, freedom.